Are you faithful? I brought the lightning. Hi, all. Welcome to Actual Play, the podcast. This is Band of Blades, episode 3, part 2, with Strash, Jay, Jen, Misha, and myself. The opening shot to this game is Crimson Rising Tide leaping on the back of a horror with knives and axes and trying to do his darndest. And because he's just a kid, people watching out for him. We then had this very Tomb Raider-y moment as we got into the Temple of Matiar. And I got to be a super goofball, which was a blast. I loved it. I hope you enjoy the conclusion of the mission, Diamond Anvil.
Hello again. Here we are, facing a horror with our spears and swords and things. This seems like a smart thing to do.
Whose bright idea was this?
I feel like it was yours. No.
combination about... of the dice and how things turned out. It could have been very different.
Yeah.
This is why we play games with dice. So, Sean, I believe that multiple people will die if you don't roll well. So, yeah.
Let's see.
Let's see what's everyone's fate.
What's my effect?
Standard.
All right. I'm going to push for great.
Okay. Not for an extra die. Interesting.
I can't. I've got a devil's bargain.
That's true.
This is a
group skirmish?
I want to murder this thing.
Yep, it's a group skirmish.
All right.
Well, actually, no. It's just the squad is fighting, and Sean is just rolling on behalf of the squad, effectively. Okay.
Never mind.
Awesome.
Well, I got a 5.
Crush.
So let me give you some ticks here. So on a standard effect, you would usually do 2. Great effect 3, right? So 2, 3. This thing is still not dead, but the fiction changes, right? So I think that Sean, what weapon does your rookie use?
I'm thinking this is real practical, but given today's thing, Ignacio has Crimson Rising Tide has 2 like long bladed curved daggers, and they're like sheath drawn, like. And like dives in, just like snap, this thing.
Sean, I love you very much, but you're going to need to use something other than daggers if you're planning to ever harm a horror. This thing is like 12 feet tall and has legs like tree trunks.
Nice. Awesome. So that's when they're like, I mean, this is the perfect opportunity for you to be like, and that's when that doesn't work. So that's when, let's see, what's a good hand weapon that,
axe, sword, a spike you picked up somewhere on the ground, anything you want.
Yeah, I think an axe is great. I think the same, the shield and axe were on the back, and I think
awesome. When
he's like that didn't work. He pulls this long handled axe off his back and just starts whacking away like he's taking down a tree.
Awesome. Yes. So I think that there's a moment where maybe we can say that you like use the daggers to like climb up into position, and then you take out the axe for like some sort of like key strike to try and like
headshot. I mean, it's not going to kill it, but you know, I can still chop it in the head.
I was going to suggest. I mean, you do. You like smash the axe in, and like you know, you're like got its head, and then you realize it's got like multiple other faces.
Yeah,
in its
totally.
Like another one just sort of like.
Just sort of surfaces from between some other,
yeah. You see, like a squad of rotters coming up on your unit, but they get like suppressive fired out of you know the air, and yeah, there's this moment where the horror, it takes its arm, and like you see, like the shots go through the arm from the suppressive fire, and like ethereal green flame spurts where Blackshot hits it, and it takes that weird. Like digging tool metal thing.
Yeah.
And I've got a very loving cat. It takes that digging thing and it brings it down. And you folks are the owls, I believe, right? Or I'm sorry, you're the ravens.
The ravens. Yeah.
Awesome. So I think gray wafting smoke is just gonna get bisected. This thing like just hammers into him.
No!
And,
promoted.
I know. This is what happens when people are playing the soldiers. He's just an NPC in the squad. He like, yeah, this thing like buries him in half. You folks are like driving weapons into this thing. And of course, the other thing it does is it smashes its back against the rubble. So Sean, you are going to take level 3 harm.
Nice.
So now this is where I point out something.
It's 3 because it's 2 from risky and 1 from threat.
Quality. Yeah, threat.
Right. Because we have scale. We have matching scale.
Correct. You have matching scale.
Yeah.
So its quality is higher. And yeah, you're going to take level 3 harm. This is where I point out that if someone like the medic wants to, they might be able to save. So like gray wafting basically has like the digger is basically like giant sporks, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like big metal sporks. And yeah, when he gets pinned to the ground, he has like 2 of these sporks going through his midsection. So doctor, if you want to, you can save his life with a resistance roll. Sean, you can attempt to test down your harm if you'd like.
Yeah. Definitely want to resist that harm.
Cool. This is going to be a prowess resist. Okay, this is a battle and it's the consequences of a battle. If you want to, you can just give me a prowess resist and be like, no, I save grave wafting smoke, but you're gonna have to tell me how. It can be with medicine, it can be by like diving in and pushing that arm out of the way before it murders them. Whatever you want.
Yeah, I actually kind of like pushing the arm out of the way. Like obviously he still gets injured, but I think maybe I spotted right before it happened that it would have gone for like a, you know, vital organs or whatever. And I was like, no.
Push it down to just glancing blow.
Yeah. Sorry. I was corrected. Gray wafting smoke is a lady. My bad.
Hmm.
Continue. So yeah, you can definitely push it out of the way. Just give me a prowess resist.
Okay. What did I get? I don't even know. I got 5.
If that is your prowess roll, it looks like you got a 3, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay, yes. 3, then.
Cool. In which case, it costs you 3 stress, but you save the soldier's life.
Okay.
Cool.
I am super stressed out now.
Yeah, yeah. So, Crimson
Rising Tide. What is this? I was about to ask you, but yeah, Jen, what does this look like? Like, obviously, you push the thing out of position. It doesn't land a critical blow. Do you like pull this person back and give her drugs? Like do you bind her? Do you just like put her back on her feet and charge back in with her? Like No.
I pull her back with me. Uh-huh. I think I give her drugs. Like I give her like you know, the band of blades equivalent of like epinephrine or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Tonics.
Tonics.
Cool. Yeah. And awesome. Yeah, that seems, you know your job. You give her the equivalent of epinephrine, she comes gasping back. And it's just like, oh God, that hurt, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, do you give her a pep talk, any words, or are you just like, get back in there, soldier?
Get back in there. Put me back in, coach!
I don't actually think that
we sure do.
Get back in there and kind of medic.
Fair.
So, I think actually she kind of helps Gray Wafting Smoke stand back up, but kind of holds her back for a second and says, like, let's be smart here, because like charging in and, you know, whatever is clearly not working so hot for us. So maybe like judge your position before you make another move, or like effectively like watch where you're going.
Yeah. Because okay. The thing's still alive. It's beat to all hell, but it's still dangerous. It's still flailing.
Sean.
Yeah. So my first question is there anybody who wants some sweet, sweet XP to try and protect Crimson Rising Tide? I'm not saying you should, but there's other people there. That, obviously, I don't think it makes sense within the fiction for Rhea to do it.
Yeah.
But if anyone wants to jump on that blade, they can. Otherwise, I'm happy to resolve. But I just thought I would give that option to people to get XP off of my character.
Sure. Why not?
Now, here's the catch, is that it means you'll protect, but then the harm goes to you instead.
Yeah,
it'll be reduced.
Yeah.
But
yeah. All right, so you said a prowess resist.
Yeah. How are you going to do it?
So this is another one where you've got sporks coming down to.
No, I'm on its back, and it's gonna crash me into a wall
and break some ribs, you know.
Yeah.
I think I just cushion the blow, so you get knocked towards a wall, but I'm between the wall and you.
Jesus, yeah, I see it.
What's your weapon of choice here? You put something in the path. Are you gonna take the hit?
Because it protects you. So it's not quite as squished.
Okay. So Misha, usually when you do a protect, the way it works is that you take the harm, right? So you would take level 3 harm, which means that you can test it down now. Okay. But Sean's character would be safe.
Gotcha.
Jen did a resist on the behalf of this rookie and basically resisted, or the soldier, and resisted her dying. So you can at this point protect, and you have to protect if you want XP. But
it's the same mechanical thing. You're still making
No, it's not, because if you do a resist, then Sean will take level 2 harm. If you do a protect, you're going to take level 3 harm, and then you can test it down to 2 or whatever.
Gotcha.
Oh,
I'll take the harm. Gotcha.
Is that different from?
No, that's standard blades. When you protect someone, you don't resist on behalf of them. You actually take the incoming blow onto yourself.
Cool. Just let me take level 2 harm. Just cushion the blow for me. If I'm taking level 2 from one, I might as well have 2 level 2s. It's fun. They'll match. I wanted to be paired before.
I will point out that if you have armor, you can test it down to level 1, and then your medic can fix you.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good point. I don't have armor.
Just an
anymore.
Idea. Carry on.
I had a shield. I used it.
So maybe this protect is not a bad idea, because Misha can test it down to level 1.
Yeah, okay. Because I do have armor. Yeah.
Well, armor and a shield. A test down and armor would do it. Yeah, that's fine.
I don't have a shield. All right, so.
So Misha, you push Crimson out of the way, and then you're about to get smushed by this horror launching itself backwards. But you put a weapon up and it drives deep into its body. You're taking level 3 harm. I'm gonna say broken ribs. You have 1 or 2 that are broken. That's pretty bad.
All right. So I do have armor.
Armor absorbs the blow somewhat. Rad. So that'll be level 2 harm. And do you want to prowess resist this? So tell me how you stop this half-ton beast from crushing you against the wall.
So she tucks her lance under her arm, or his, Ignacio's a he, tucks his lance under his arm, so when the blow comes, it impales the thing's hand, and it kind of goes ouch, and it kind of doesn't put their full strength into the blow, because, that would be driving a spike through its hand. It doesn't like doing that, because that would hurt.
Awesome. But okay. So what you're saying is that you're impaling it on your lance. You're using that lance to sort of deflect the, yes, the its mass. All right, cool. Just give me a press resist.
Sweet.
Oh, shit.
So it costs you 0 to reduce it to a level 1. Now don't forget to mark XP wherever you like. Mm-hmm. And,
And then go talk to the medic.
One harm, bruised. Awesome.
So I have a question after all this.
Yeah.
I know we didn't destroy it, but I think we wrecked the hell out of that horror, right?
Yeah.
It has a tick left, but what's it doing now that we've...
I think one of its heads is gone. So it's not completely destroyed, but it's flailing. It doesn't seem to be able to use its other sensory organs really accurately.
I know that
the axe chops actually removed one of its arms, and it's got a lance in another one. And one of its hands is stuck in the ground. So this thing is basically blind, and just swinging one arm around wildly, and not really having any sort of organized mission or attack pattern. Jay, I just want to warn you, you're seeing further troop reinforcements come up from the inside, but it looks like they're completely displaced at this point.
Okay.
So like they're moving out of position to engage, right? Like they feel like they've been attacked, so they're moving up. So if you want to send some sort of order, communicate something where you want people to slip around them at this point, they're pretty focused on a unit. You can do retreating actions, your suppressive fire. You might have to suppressive fire again to like hold that group or whatever, but that's in the future. In the present, yeah, this is the situation. The horror is mostly disassembled and not really clear on what it's doing. It's still dangerous though. Like imagine like a crane with a ball like swinging around wildly. It doesn't have to know who you are. It's still a dangerous thing.
Right.
What are you folks doing?
I let everyone know about those troops.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Because you're some distance away in a sniper position. Do you whistle? Do you have I don't think snipers have flare guns, but like, is there like some signaling or something that you can do?
Yeah. I think it's a whistle, and I think it's actually like maybe a small wooden whistle
okay.
instead of, because I personally I can't whistle. I'd love to.
That's fine. I can't do that either.
I can't.
I wish I could, but I can't.
It's cool. I dig the fact that you have this wooden whistle and you yeah. let out this like particular series of toots.
Right.
Awesome. So folks, you get the heads up. And what is your particular series of toots saying? Is it just saying watch out? Is it saying run ahead and hide? What do you plan to do here?
I think it's a warning right now with action to follow. My thought is my next action may be to suppress.
Okay.
I mean, we must have like incoming as a signal, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Incoming has got to be a standard.
I'm just double checking if your sniper was like, you know, hold position. If the sniper was like retreat, like whatever. I was just trying to get the communication through.
Yeah.
This is just informational. We've got incoming.
Cool. Yeah.
Incoming. Yeah.
Crimson Rising is like, basically, like you said, it's like this crane swinging. It's like this death zone around it. But I figure this thing can't follow us. Now it can't see. Like, we didn't come here to kill horrors. We came here to get a hammer. Right. Let's go get that hammer. And this is like, let's just GTFO into that building before our troops get here. So
okay,
he's like, let's go. And that's, you know, but he's not the commanding officer. That's his inclination if folks are ready.
All right. Cool. So there is a bunch of enemy troops between you and the door.
Okay.
I mean, there are lots of options, right? Like you could attempt to cut your way through them. I don't recommend it. They have vastly superior numbers. Jake could attempt to suppress them just to force them to like duck their heads. And then you folks could make a maneuver roll to run past them. But that's going to leave the troops between you and your exit.
Can we push the horror into them?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
That's rad. Yes. Okay. So the medic is coming up with a wild plan. I think that's really interesting. But I'm going to have to ask you a question. What kind of action do you think would do that? Like, what?
That sounds like a wreck.
I can believe in that.
Yeah.
I mean, if Rhea is up for it, I say, yeah.
Well, like, Rhea's not going to be doing the wrecking. I've got nothing in wreck.
No, but you can lead the action.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So, like, well, but I can't take the stress. I have one open stress.
Yeah.
I can take the stress.
I got a theory around how wreck could work right now.
It doesn't have to be wreck. You could be like sway to like convince it to go the wrong direction or whatever.
Could I maneuver to push it?
Yes, you could maneuver physical strength, pushing, putting some boxes and stuff behind it so that like when it connects with a box, it thinks you folks are that direction, so it stumbles in that way.
Yes.
Whatever you want to do, like, I am okay with it. You could skirmish. Just pitch me an action, and I will give you an effect and position, right? Like, but I don't know. There is no take horror throw at enemies action.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, like, what I was thinking from a fictional positioning standpoint was that, like, it's been moving around in this space for a period of time. So we have an idea of what direction it's pointed in. It was pointed in.
Yep. It is actually, and it's flinging wildly. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, you know, because my guess is that, like, the horrors are still, they're not, like, sort of omnidirectional, right?
No. So, no, it's built like a gorilla, right? Like, it's got, like, the huge arms and, like, it's designed for digging, right? Like, so, like, it has like super mega extra beefy arms, and you get the sense that it kind of curls up those diggers and like walks on the equivalent of knuckles, right? But Yeah, it's definitely forward facing. It's not omnidirectional. It doesn't have multiple. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So I was thinking of like a combination of like each one of us doing an action of like, you know, grabbing onto one of the digger spork things with like rope and yanking it in a direction, and somebody pushing on the back of its leg, me, you know, or like whatever. You know what I mean? Like a coordinated effort.
Yeah.
And the maneuver is mostly to keep you people out of the way so you don't get clipped in the process.
100%.
This feels pretty okay to me. It feels risky because it is super strong, so I might like whip people along with the rope, you know, like when you put the rope on the digger arm and like a couple of you pull. But I'm gonna say that it's gonna be risky standard. Okay. But I'm not going to apply full damage to you if something goes sideways, because it's not able to apply its full threat to you. It's fighting is at roughly equivalent threat because it's flailing wildly and you're not trying to fight it, right? Like you're not getting within killing distance. It's more like secondary fire. Is that fair, folks? Do you feel like that's okay?
Yeah, I like it.
Awesome.
I want to propose Devil's Bargain. One option for Devil's Bargain. Sometimes there's maybe this is too complicated, and if so, I'm fine saying forget about it. But one of the options is you can use gear that might be appropriate to do this. If it was not just kind of approaching them, but approaching them like also on fire because I took the oil that I brought.
Nice. I like it.
That make it more dangerous to them, and therefore could I use one of my oil to
will say that you actually might want to use the entirety of your oil, and what you would really use it for is to try and help cordon paths so that if the enemy tries scattering and getting away from the horror, they can't.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah, and maybe you don't even light it. It's just slippery. Is that what you're thinking? That like
make no combination of slippery and fire is fine.
Yeah, slippery and fiery. All right, so I've got all these sacks of oil.
Just dump it all.
Right, because awesome. I think I'm messed up enough that even though I'm technically part of the action, this is the way I'm perceiving. So,
it's fine. You're just gonna be at risk, but someone else will roll.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm gonna give somebody a devil's bargain to with all that oil.
Who is this a group maneuver? Is this just
feel like it is like is we're all participating, right?
Which is fine.
I don't know that I can handle leading it.
Ignacio, are you leading?
Sure.
All right, let's see that bravado in action.
All right, because Ignacio is leading, I can't roll because I'm a rookie, right?
Correct.
Who gets the devil's bargain die?
I'm gonna give it to Ignacio because he's leading it.
You have any maneuver, Jen?
I have two maneuver.
Oh,
you should roll with this group.
I'm taking that back. I'm giving it to you. Idea.
So, Jen, you're gonna roll your maneuver, and you're gonna add plus one D.
Okay.
Sorry, Ignacio.
Risky standard?
Risky standard.
Okay.
That's how we play.
One bonus
all day long.
I got five.
Okay, so not bad. You don't give Ignacio stress, and there might be some harm. There will be harm, probably. Who would, Ignacio, you want to roll for the rookies? See if you can pull out that six? No. You give yourself a stress. So five means that there's consequences applied to everyone that acted, which means the medic and the rookies.
Yep.
Hi, kitten. So I feel like this is so this means that level two harm is going to get applied here. So Jen, your doctor is going to take level two harm. And I'm going to say that Ignacio, you're going to take level two harm.
All right.
Will
armor help?
Yeah, if you have, you already spent your armor, I believe.
Yeah, good point.
I have armor.
But you can test it down again if you would like. Okay.
Let's do that.
I'm going to use my armor.
Awesome. So that's reduced level one harm to you as well, Dak. All right. So Ignacio, that's going to cost you two stress.
Okay. What happens when my stress track is full?
Nothing. If you go over full. So one of the things in Bands of Blades is that you can go to maximum.
Okay.
But you can't, if you go over, you trauma.
Okay.
So you can actually push it all the way to the top. It's just that in Blades, when you fill to the top, you get a trauma, which is I think a leftover from Apocalypse World, but we found that it was easier to teach. Just, you can go to your max.
You've got all those boxes available.
You don't have any boxes left.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right. So the position is this. I'm going to describe the fiction, and then you folks are going to tell me what you want to do. This horror with fire and slipperiness all around it is swinging. And the undead, they attempt to like move, right? And there's like a couple of shots, you know, keeping their heads down. And so finally, you see this tiny figure in that white coat with the bloody handprint on its, it's got that leather plague doctor mask on it, jumps up and lands on the back of one of the horrors. And it just makes this like finger gesture. And you see the horror that's flailing around wildly, one of the other horrors engages it, right? Like, and so like it catches its hands and like tries to wrestle it. And you see a couple of the other undead get on it. It seems to think that they're you. So it's like scattering rotters left and right, right? And so like they're engaged for a hot second. What do you folks do?
Hustle! I mean,
this is,
yeah,
this
right?
Is, yeah, it's get inside.
I'm on the whistle. Go.
All right. So I feel like you set up a position. You took some harm. You like a bunch of you have level one harm. You're all kind of mauled and wounded a bit. You hustle past this mess. I'm not going to make you make a maneuver roll because I feel like that shit storm is contained. Like it's fighting itself and there's fire and oil and stuff all around it. So you folks can get past it. If you don't roll well here, then it's going to collapse on you. So what happens is you get to where they're digging, and they've actually dug all the dirt out of the way. And there's this giant friggin' temple door. And there are two doors, and they're stone, and they're sealed. And it's obvious that they couldn't open them because they're not unlocked. What do you folks want to do? This is a classic Tomb Raider moment. There's a giant stone door in front of you.
What is the nationality of these gods, the twin gods?
They're Aldermani.
They're Aldermani.
But if you had research, you could ask
questions. I do have research.
All right. That's a skill that nobody takes, but it's super useful.
Yeah.
Would you like to find out stuff about this door and what you may have read in the legends?
I would love to find out stuff because I absolutely would have read everything I could about this damn area.
Okay, so I'm going to say something weird. Usually when you say, I'd like to roll some research, it's usually just like a fortune roll. And what we determine is how much information have you encountered?
Right.
But what I'm going to say is this is going to be risky standard because the temple doors are not super complicated. They're just basically like, are you faithful? And so what I'm going to say is the risk is that shitstorm that's happening over there spills over into your area. So okay. This is one of the few times where I'm like, roll research as a risky standard action.
That seems legit.
Nice.
Risky standard.
Do you want assistance?
Well, I have, for doctor, I have two, so I'm rolling two dice.
Yeah, and clearly your damaged shoulder and stuff is not in play here. This is about your smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to give me assistance, I'll totally take an extra die, but also I'm okay if I don't have that die.
Does anyone want to nominate their character for being familiar with Aldermani customs? I think we'd established that at least one of us was not, that Gray Wafting Smoke had been here, but Gray Wafting Smoke isn't being played. So we can't use them. But I think any of our characters could have traveled to this area. And well, I'm happy to throw.
So
what's that?
I have connected.
All right. So you have connections. You know people. Mm-hmm. If you wanna spend the stress, maybe you know some locals that may have given you information.
Oh, sure. We'll spend that last stress.
Some secret about those doors.
They friend and enter, right?
I got a six.
Like you do. So there's this moment where there's this giant door that the undead couldn't figure out, but you're just like, okay, I understand what's up here. The hammer of Matiar is facing downwards. You have to like rotate it into position.
Yeah.
And you know, then like that's basically like the latch and lock mechanism or whatever. So you do the thing, right? Like, and the doors crack open. And like you folks file in, and then the doors close, and do you want to relock the doors from the inside?
So long as all of our people are inside.
Yeah, yeah, yes. You folks hustle and you get in before the undead. Like you hear the pounding start and you see like the dust coming from the door frame and everything. But
question about this maneuver. Jay, did you, because you weren't shooting, you weren't involved with the like with the maneuver, did you pick up your rifle and haul ass and join us? Or are you still
I didn't know where Jay was.
That would require a maneuver roll.
Right. Okay. I assume that the sniper is still outside.
Okay.
Yeah, Jay's just like, nope, please.
Right. In fact, I grabbed one of the other rookies.
Get it, Jay. This is how this game works.
Oh, nice. Good job. Oh, excellent. I don't think there is another rookie, but you can grab
one. There's a soldier. Soldier.
Yeah, soldier.
Yep. Awesome.
Got Flavia. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Awesome. Flavia. That sounds great.
Okay.
I dig it.
So now comes the question of, so did anybody remember to bring a lantern?
Yes, I did. I just checked it off. Musket was checked, and I'm like, well, I don't have shoot. I can't really use musket. And
it's now part of the soldier's kit, so if you have that.
Yep, and all rookies actually come with a soldier's kit, but yeah. Yes. Cool, so I think everyone's like, it's pitch black in here, what are we doing? And then like this one dim light turns on. And yeah, you folks come in, and this is like an old shrine to Matiar. As a matter of fact, you see the twins back to back with, there's like a set of statues, and Matiar is holding a hammer, and behind him is his brother. So Matiar is looking outwards towards the world, and his brother Gerholtz the Hunter is standing behind him facing inside towards the temple. And that's actually how you know that it's a temple to Matiar. They just tend to rotate the statues to show who it's more dedicated to, essentially. Mm. It's real pretty. There's actually like some nice like gold leaf and stuff on the ceiling. You see a bunch of imagery and stuff like that. Jen, because your doctor rolled so well on research, I'm going to say that you actually recognize the exact incarnation of Matiar that this was. They were alive about 250 years ago. The Chosen appear to deal with a particular great beast that's been harassing this area for a while. I think you saw the brother's spear in it a little earlier when your team got wrecked last side mission. This is you see some hallways, you see this place. What do you folks want to do?
Is that it? Is that the hammer?
Crimson
Rising Tide doesn't know. He turns to Rhea and he's like, did we find it? Did we get the hammer? Is that it? And he's like, holding his hands out, like, we just,
I think actually just for pure comedic effect, she kind of like half nods and says, yeah, that's the hammer, and waits for you to pick it up.
Right. Well, the statue's holding it. It's like part of the statue.
Yeah, it's marble.
It's marble.
I'm waiting for you to pick up this dumb marble hammer to make fun of you. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I can, because it's like presumably part of the statue.
Right.
Like, I don't think it's.
It doesn't mean you don't try.
What?
Right.
Exactly. So I go up and I'm like, come on.
That's not the hammer.
I'm going to pause everything for just 1 second. I'm sorry to interrupt everyone, but I wanted to give a shout out to Vaclum, who has subscribed for 3 months. So thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Vaclum.
Shout out. All right, cool. Continue.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm like, yeah, it's no good. We're going to have to chop off the hand.
That's not the hammer.
It's definitely a hammer.
It's not the hammer, but it's not the hammer.
I feel like this is false advertising. This is fine. Fine. Let's go get the other hammer. We'll leave this one behind. This is a cool looking hammer.
What are you gonna do with a marble hammer?
I mean, I'll smash things.
Yes, but the first time you try to swing it at something, it's gonna break into a million pieces. Marble is not a good material for weapons.
If it was made by a Chosen, it might survive. I'm just saying.
All right. Might.
But right. Yeah, not this one. Definitely not chosen. This one.
All right. Okay. Then what's important here is who's in charge now.
Because
I just want to point out that our leader is out there.
I look at Raya. Because yeah. Raya outranks us all.
Yeah.
It's clearly me.
So Raya, what are your priorities? Are your priorities to save this place? Are they to heal everybody that has level 1 harm?
That's a really good question. Where are you guys at harm-wise? And do we have any other rookies that aren't being played by players right now?
There's two rookies being played. There's one soldier that's not being played, and I believe there's one rookie not being played.
Okay.
I'm playing Flavia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Flavia's
the soldier. That's the one soldier, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Irinov Boryenva is not being played.
Yes. Right. She's a rookie.
She's a rookie.
Okay, so she's presumably with us then.
Yes.
Yep. Everybody made it in.
Oh, okay.
Except for
Except for the sniper. The sniper is the
sniper, right?
Is outside, okay. Probably hoofing it away from.
But
or
I do,
maybe just waiting to provide suppressive fire. Who knows?
Okay.
I do think two of us have level one wounds.
Yeah, I think.
Jen does too.
Yeah, I do too. I think that I, so long as we have people, what I want to see happen is I can tend to level one wounds and other people can search.
Okay. So the wounded are supposed to stand by you for the moment and the rest of the folks will search, right?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. So who wants to lead the search party here?
I'll do it. Search party. Okay.
No.
Let me just ask, Jen, do you have three uses of tonics? I don't know your load.
Yeah, we didn't decide load, so.
We should have.
We should have.
Yeah.
Marshall, that's part of your disease.
only two people have level one harm right now. Raya and Ignacio.
Okay.
As far as I know.
And I think you start with one tonics no matter what. Yeah, it's in your light load.
Well, okay, so in the character sheet, they're not called tonics. I think they're called medical supplies.
Yes.
Right.
Because those are old sheets, but yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm working off the updated rule set in my head.
Yeah, I think I have two of them under normal load, which I assumed that we were going in under normal load because we were not sneaking, but also it's very uncharacteristic of Rhea to go with a heavy load. So normal felt right. I mean, that would burn through both of my medical supplies to clear my level one harm and Ignacio's level one harm.
Cool. All right. So who's in charge of the search party here?
Flavia.
Yeah. Awesome. So Flavia, you're with Ignacio just because it's convenient to put two players in this shenanigan. And You're moving into the temple and you're essentially in what looks like it would be the, you see some signs like in the dust of footprints and such. Do you want to press on?
Yes.
Remember that you're looking for like, okay.
Right.
So like,
right. Yes.
As you, do you like bring out weapons? How do you approach?
Cautious, but I don't bring out weapons yet. I assume we're the only ones in here.
Yeah. Remember that these people may have gotten lost here up to 3 years ago, right?
Right, right.
So there's this moment when you're kind of approaching like a dark region, and just before your light shines on it, this red glow of two eyes appears. And as your light comes up, you realize that there is several, for a second you're just like, they're people, and then you realize that they're entirely too pale and definitely not people. They're undead. But they're a different kind of undead than you've been seeing outside. As a matter of fact, you've heard childhood stories of this, which is that sometimes in some places, people that die are going to, like a long time ago, undead weren't unheard of. They just usually appear in like conditions where like they're near chosen or like, you know, like they die with a leader and they hang on or something like that. And so like when you look at them, you remember the stories of revenants and like, oh, they drink human blood and they move so fast. And you don't know, like unless you make a research roll, you have no idea what their powers are like. But as kids, you're told that they're basically like demons. And so your light shines on them and you recognize the Aldermani like logo on their shoulder and like on their tabards, right? Like they're like an Aldermani unit. But the one whose eyes are glowing is standing in front of them. And he holds in his hand a hammer, right? But like when you look at the hammer, you realize that the thing is like vibrating so much so that like its edges are difficult to see. It doesn't look like it's fully real. It's that weird. It's like, it makes you almost queasy to like look at it too closely. But this thing like steps forward and it looks at all of you. And like you hear a whisper from behind it that says looters. And this one says, are you faithful? What do you want to do?
Yes.
What do we know? Yeah. I want to say yes. What do we know about Aldermani customs and religion, right?
That's a research roll. You want to give me a research roll? It's just the fortune roll. So like there's no consequence here. It'll just answer the question of what do we know.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, or you could answer the question as if, are you faithful to your own faith?
Yeah, but you know, if they're a different faith, then that makes me a heretic, right?
I don't think so.
Are you faithful? Yes, I am faithful.
You didn't say to the Aldermani gods, like.
Well, I mean, bear in mind. So I'm going to pause and actually talk about blades a little bit here. One of the things that you can do is you can lie to it. That'll probably be a sway roll. I know that right. All rookies start with some sway.
That's right.
It would be consort. It doesn't matter. What you could do also is be like, hang on, we're going into an Aldermani temple. Maybe this is where I call for a flashback. And I talk about how I studied up on some of this stuff, you know, like, so like, I'm just giving you some blades food because.
Right.
As much as I will murder half your unit when you roll poorly, I am actually a fan of all of you. And I'm not trying to cheat you or anything. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. We're not antagonistic here. It's just the rules force me to murder you because undead are scary. It's not my fault.
Yes.
It's rules, which some stranger that is clearly not me wrote. So
clearly.
Right. I think Flavia answers.
Flashback to us all getting a primer in Aldermani customs from like the local what's it called?
Or the lore keeper.
Holy shit! Is it the lore keeper, or did you go into like the local church?
It's up to Misha. I was going to suggest the lore keeper, but if you'd rather do the church, that's totally fine.
I mean, we're in a place where it's Aldermani, right? I mean, that's where Plainsworth is.
Yeah.
It's part of Aldermani, so yeah.
Plainsworth is in Aldermark. They would have a Temple to the Twins, presumably. You could have easily gone there. That's fine. So who's calling for this flashback? Jay or Misha? Because flashbacks cause stress. I'm just pointing this out.
Oh, I have no stress left, so that would probably not be a good idea.
So Flavia. You actually did the research, right?
I assume we were all kind of prepped.
Okay, that's cool. So you suggested it and all of you went there maybe like the day before the mission or whatever?
Right.
Yeah, okay. It is a holy mission. It makes sense to learn about. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say that's not unreasonable, so it's going to cost you zero stress. Especially if you're doing it as a unit, you people have already proven that you're kind of really tight as a group for some reason, which is cool. You folks are kind of pumped. You did your research. You're like, yeah, we're going to kick ass on this mission. And that's not really a weird contrived thing. You knew that you were going in a temple after Matiar's artifact. So that sounds like a zero stress flashback.
Right.
So I'm going to tell you that you have a pretty good primer on the basic stuff. And you maybe know like one or two details of the esoteric stuff. Do you want to talk to them about this? Do you want to lie to them? Do you want to try and flaunt your own faith? Do you want to tell them that, you know, Zora sent you? Like, what do you want to do here?
Yeah, no, I don't want to lie. I want to split hairs.
Okay.
I will say I am faithful enough.
Okay. Do you want to give me a...
Can I, since we did a flashback with the whole group,
yeah.
Can I say a thing that Crimson Rising Tide would have said to Flavia back in that flashback?
Sure, go for it. We can...
Yeah.
This is convenient because now we can add some details until you say something really unreasonable, and then I'll be like, now the flashback caused stress.
No, it's fine. So Crimson Rising Tide was like, okay, so we go there, and are we worthy of this hammer? The Broken took the spear. They killed his they wreck because that last secondary mission was the hunter,
right?
I'm like, we're getting vengeance on the broken for taking the hunter, like, so because for some reason Crimson Rising Tide just feels like the Ravens can do no wrong. His perspective is that that we're gonna do the best, the most good. We're gonna serve the hold on, I know the name. We're gonna serve Matiar by using his hammer to avenge his brother. That's
perfect.
I would have said.
Yes. Back then. Yes.
Cool. So Jay.
Yes.
You're gonna give him the speech. I feel like this is
yep
controlled right now.
Okay.
But this is a sway roll.
Gotcha.
This is controlled standard. Just let's see if you give them some information. Right. You had a pretty good flashback. I feel like they're not ready to melt your faces just yet.
Right.
Since I did that in the flashback, can I spend a stress to aid?
Aw, you totally can, Sean.
Cool.
You cheesy power gave you.
I'm totally cheesy. Well, I mean,
it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. I'm just messing with you. Yeah, yeah. I love it. Go for it. Power here. This is the power of flashbacks, by the way, folks. This is how you're supposed to use them. So as much as I'm making the joke here, Sean marks stress. Jay, you get a +1 D.
Awesome. I will also push myself.
Go for it.
And I'm marking stress for that now. And so that's +2 D.
Mm-hmm.
And here it comes.
Awesome.
Oh, well, it was controlled.
So yeah, so you say we're faithful enough, right? And he holds. Do you tell him, hey, so we need the hammer to help your brother out or whatever? Like, you know, since the spear was stolen, we kind of need this to help the you know, to fight the broken. Is that a thing you say?
Yeah, that's the line. I like that, and so I mentioned that we will do the most good.
Right. So this feels perfectly reasonable.
Right.
Everything seems fine for a split second, and like in the movie, we see those eyes flare red, and it says you cannot have it. And then you see like trails as it like rushes towards you. And before we get into that risky situation. Back near the entrance, Doc, you've patched everyone up. Yep. That squad is not returned. What are you planning on doing here?
I mean, I think we have to go check it out, right?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So you folks, you know, pack your stuff up, I assume, and head in the direction of the missing squad. So I'm going to say that, you know, they've been like moving forward cautiously and like scanning regions, and you're just following like footprints in the dust. Like there's fresh footprints here. Yeah. And as you're going to approach the situation, as Jay is about to put Favia into a very risky situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you folks see. What do you folks want to do? Favia's not dead or anything, but you see this thing charged towards her.
Can I do a research on these revenant creatures?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Because...
Just yeah. give me
I'm
a...
too excited about that structure.
Well, I've had a number of players tell me that research is not useful. And what we're seeing here is a player engage with the research mechanics and actually leverage them to make a difference in the game. And so, like, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit of a nerd. I really love it. Knowledge is useful. So.
Also, it's your opportunity to share the lore of the world with us.
Yeah, it's right? Super fun for me. So, like... There's lots of people that are good at skirmish. The people that are good at research are my heroes. So, Jen, take it away.
All right.
But it's true.
is this just like risky standard or does it not matter?
Yeah, it doesn't matter for right now. I'm going to tell you what you know about them. What we're doing is I'm disclaiming responsibility. I'm not going to tell you what you know. The dice will tell us what you know.
I got a 6.
No, it's great.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So you know pretty much everything that you could reasonably know about revenants. So you know that a lot of the stories are full of shit.
Yeah.
You know that actually revenants can get stronger when they eat flesh or drink blood of the living. Like it gives them supernatural speed and strength.
Mm-hmm.
But what you know is that a long time ago when Blackshot was first created, it was assumed to be completely useless. It is a bullet that can kill things that are already dead. And so, like, everybody in the alchemy studies was just like, well, that's a useless curiosity. Who the fuck wants to use that? It doesn't even penetrate armor. It's stupid. Until the undead showed up, and then everyone's like, oh, holy shit, that's the most useful thing ever. But it has been used to kill revenants almost instantly. Nice. Like, any scratch by a blackshot bullet should take them out.
Awesome. That seems helpful.
I mean, we have a sniper outside with blackshot.
Yeah, but the sniper like is out of communication from me.
I know. I'm just
well. It is also possible that one of you has blackshot. Uh oh. Did nobody mark blackshot?
Not this rookie.
Oh, because we didn't do loads.
Oh
well.
Right, so
someone wants to.
We should all do loads right now.
Yeah.
I had assumed that people had like filled them in the protocols, but we should do loads right now.
Yeah.
So I believe I have not penalized you. So folks, please don't go heavy, but normal or light loads, whatever works, go for it right now.
And I did normal for Flavia, but yeah, I got rid of the musket. And yeah. So there was no need to take the shot.
Well, you can. I mean, black shot is a two utility thing. So if you haven't.
If you're a soldier, you have bonus utility too.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Soldiers get four utility. So soldier with black shot seems reasonable.
Carrying it for the sniper.
I already said I have a lantern, so I don't think fictionally I can justify.
That's fair.
I had oil and shield, so I definitely do have it.
All right, so I have black shot.
Right.
Awesome.
I'm gonna, you know, I think it's reasonable that I would remember which one on our team has black shot. I'm going to order that soldier to utilize his black shot.
So does anybody have a firearm?
Yes.
I think I do.
Yeah, you actually, I believe, have a fine.
I do have a fine pistol.
Do you wanna tank this, medic? Are you gonna make the key shot of the session here and not have your soldier get eaten by a vampire?
I mean, I want to, but my shoot is nothing. I'd rather like hand the gun.
It's okay.
Over to...
Flavia can like engage and like hold the thing to give you an assist, for example, and you can push. There's a lot of ways to handle this, right? Like
get some dice. Yes.
Right.
I can't push because I only have one stress left.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine. You'll be fine.
Well, here's the question. Do we have a devil's bargain?
Yeah.
I have a cool devil's bargain.
Of course you do.
So I think that... no. You can hear it and accept it. You'd say no.
Yeah.
But I think that everyone's armor is going to shatter when this thing engages. And you'll understand why in a hot second.
I mean, most of our armor's already spent.
Yeah, my armor's already spent.
No, so
okay.
Go for it.
Are we cool with this? Then
mine is good.
All right. Fabio, I'll point out that the harm's coming at you. Carry on. Plus 1D. So you get plus 1D from the thing. Fabio, would you like to spend a stress to give the medic, like, shoot it, like,
I most certainly will.
Or you can also spend a stress to toss blackshot at the medic who's yelling for blackshot. Did anybody bring blackshot?
Right. I have a whole other idea. Like, you said even the touch of it would do it. Like, Flavia could try Flavia could try to literally just, like, pop a shell out of its case. Like, physically, like skirmish with it. Like, shove this black shot in its face because if even a touch will disintegrate the thing. It's not. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't want to change the action, but like it feels like if we're really trying not to do one thing that
if Jen really doesn't want to do shoot, Flavia could try that. That's probably going to be desperate.
I think I have a different devil's bargain.
Oh, okay. Tell us
how you feel about this. But I actually think knowing that I don't actually have to like. You know, shoot them in a vital organ or something, right?
Yep.
I think a devil's bargain, a good one for Rhea might be that I get up close to have a point blank shot, but
yeah,
then
that's fine.
I'm
that's perfect.
Harm.
Yep. Take that as a plus one. Okay. So the harm's going to be worse. Your position's going to be slightly worse. That's all. And you can totally run up to Rhea and like grab that black shot right off her back and like slap it in that gun for some point blankness. Yeah. All right. If you run point blank and use guns, that's actually skirmish. I don't know if that changes anything for you.
It does, actually. Yes, all right. It does.
Cool. Okay. So why don't you give me a desperate skirmish?
Desperate. Nice.
Standard?
Standard.
Okay. And then and I plus get 2D. Plus 2D, yeah. I got a 6.
That's what you need. Cool. Mark XP.
I did.
So I think that there's this moment. By the way, just for cinematic purposes, Flavia, as this thing like comes in, right? Like you just see its eyes like leaving trails as it's like moving in, and it goes to swing the hammer. Mm-hmm. What is your weapon?
I have a fine large weapon. I'm thinking it's a large long handle axe.
Awesome. And you do you like your axe? Is it a cool axe?
Did you like your axe?
Yeah, I do. I think I crafted the handle myself. Oh, right?
Awesome.
Yeah,
so yeah. I think that there's
I think
this
it's
moment.
Got this nice big nasty head blade on the top. Yeah.
I think that hammer comes down, and as it touches the axe, you hear the crack, and then it just shatters, right? Like and as you're falling back, you see the black shot going into the chamber, and this thing like lifts up the hammer, and it just says unfaithful, and then you see the black shot take like fire. It just clips it. You see that ethereal green flame, and it falls down just like it's like it's a cut marionette, and then you see the four bodies behind it activate and start heading towards you folks. What do you folks want to do?
Grab the hammer.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, you do.
Okay, cool.
Wait, do you have stress?
Yeah. She's okay. So you grab the hammer.
Yeah, because as
your hand closes around it, that shaking happens, right? Like the hammer is vibrating, and then the hammer stills and comes into focus, but your hand starts vibrating, and you start feeling. Like almost like the world, you can see it slightly differently. You can feel your bones start cracking under the weight of the hammer. So take one stress because anybody wielding the hammer on a mission has to take a stress. And because like what you're doing is you're like basically just trying to fight it off so that it doesn't wreck your hand. Yikes. But you realize looking at these things coming at you, you know where to strike so that their armor like you can basically like wreck their armor with precision. You can see the stonework around you. You know where to hit it to collapse it. And you feel like you're basically like holding living lightning in your hand. Like if you hit something with this thing and it's like a physical object, you can crack it and like break it. Because that's what the hammer does. Because it's the hammer of Matiar.
Cool.
So what do you folks want to do?
I am worthy. It.
TFO.
Yeah, you are. Good job. So you're having four revenants coming at you, folks. What does everyone want to do? Do you want to do group skirmish? Do you want to attempt to like wreck them? Like what's the plan here?
Well, we just for position, we came into this room, and I presume that we were kind of because they were going really slow, and they saw the lights, and they stopped. I assume that we're like at the mouth of this room, right?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if you're really good at wrecking right now. Maybe we collapse the hallway and then GTFO or just GTFO. I don't know. Like, you know, but it seems like there's no business we have with the rest of those revenants.
Peace. Story checks.
Yeah. I don't know. I think knowing Crimson Rising Tide, he's like, smash it. Like, you can do more. Like, right. Like, I think that's his go-to is like, you should wreck this thing. So
how you feeling there, Thor?
Yeah,
I want to try it out, so let's wreck it.
Cool. So whenever wielding the hammer, I believe you get plus 1d to wreck. I have to double check my own rules here.
That is what it says in the mission parameter. Yeah,
good job. You get plus 1d to wreck and rig, I think, as long as you're holding it.
That's correct,
and using it, obviously. Yeah, yep, there you go. Do you have any more wreck?
I have one wreck on just one wreck.
Cool. Cool. So this would give you plus 1D. Do you want to push? Does somebody want to assist by like holding these guys off or something?
I do. I do want to push.
Okay, so you push. That's going to be another plus 1d.
All right.
Please roll a critical while wielding this.
Yeah,
what's my position?
Risky standard.
Okay,
standard, it should be risky. Great.
The standard effect here is you're gonna bury them, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Do I want to put? I don't know how. I mean, Crimson Rising Tide really wants to help, but I'm not sure I know.
You can just use your spear to keep those things at bay. You can come up with a plan, which is an assist. Anything that's actually helping this to happen. It doesn't have to like physically be you shoving the hand up or something, you know?
Yeah, right. I think I point to like the. I think since I was yelling it, I think I point to the like if I don't know if I'm just gonna make up this detail, but if the if the doorway has like an arch in it,
yeah.
I say like, if you smash the center of the arch, the whole thing collapses. Right. I don't know why Crimson Rising Tide knows about architecture, but he does. So yeah, I'm going to spend this guys.
As a point of note, the Panyar are known for their really complex and delicate architecture. Many of them teach it or at universities about.
Oh, good point. I am not an artisan, but I've perhaps been around enough of them.
Maybe your dad was.
Yes, maybe my dad.
Or your mom.
Maybe you got into trouble as a child by accidentally collapsing an arch on your head.
Yes,
maybe.
There you go.
So I think you're getting nice. 3 bonus dice.
Yep, 3 bonus dice, 1 wreck die. Here it comes. Boom.
That's a critical.
Yes, I like this hammer.
So your effect is you collapse the archway and you keep everyone safe, but you get a bonus effect. What do you want it to be?
Can you have another way out of this building?
Yes.
I like that.
Cool.
If we collapse enough, so you can escape out.
So in your process of studying this building, you notice the place that you can attempt to wreck to create an additional exit through the cliffside. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I like that.
All right. So I think I'm going to call the mission here because with that effect, the undead are coming in, but I don't know that they're going to get to you faster than you're going to be able to wreck your way out with this magic hammer, right? So, Favia, how do you act once you folks get out and meet up with the sniper? Like you're holding living lightning in your hand. Do you let it go? Do you set it aside? Do you put it in a bag?
No.
Do you lord it over everyone? Like, what does this look like?
That's right. I lord it over everyone. Awesome. Yes. I brought the lightning. Yes.
Crimson Rising Tide is doing a dance around you, like, she's got the lightning, she's got the lightning, she's got the lightning. He is just like dancing. He's like your one person entourage. He's just running around like, did you see that shit? I mean, not, that's a little anachronistic, but basically.
I think Rhea's a little bit sour because if it weren't for Rhea, like, you might have been wrecked by that hammer.
It's
so
true.
I think I'm a little tight-lipped around Flavia at the moment.
Ignacio, how's your bravado holding up here?
Ignacio's seen some shit, and so that's an impressive hammer, and Ignacio's just going to stay out of way of said large hammer, because Ignacio's not a hammer kind of guy.
Awesome.
Because
I love that we have this whole gamut, right? Like we have Ignacio's reaction, we have like Rhea's like silence, we've got like the dancing. So I have to ask Jay, I know that this is putting pressure on you to play two characters, but how does the sniper
right.
Do you bark orders? Because once they rejoin you, you're in charge, right?
Right. I think the sniper's concerned that this is a problem, right? Will Flavia give up that hammer for the Legion, right?
Right.
Or, I mean, am I going to have to take Flavia, should I take Flavia down now, right, before it becomes a problem later?
So what's the call here, person in charge of squad?
I think once everyone's back and we're circled up, I think the sniper wants to get the hammer. I don't know if there's like a neutral place where
we
put all the stuff as no, we take the it sniper, back?
I mean, you can just say, like, put that thing away, you know, like, just holding it probably causes problems or something like that. And we can either decide, does Flavia give up, or do you want me to make a fortune roll if you want to disclaim responsibility?
Yeah, I think you have to make the fortune roll.
Okay.
My nature is to say, no, I have the hammer. I'm not giving it up. Make me give it up.
Okay, okay.
I was going to say Rhea would totally knock out Flavia with some drugs.
Do we want to say that's what happens?
I'm good with that, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. I love it. That will not cause her feelings later at all.
But that's real cool. Yeah, I think she's like, I have the
total firefly
hammer moment. In the backpack. So that people get Flavia over her shoulder. All right, cool. Sweet. So good job, everybody. That was an awesome mission.
Nice.
Now it's time for XPs.
Let's do it.
All righty. So, XP. So, Chevalier Ignacio Montoya did not roll into desperate actions. He did, in fact, survive the mission. Yay.
Nice.
I did help my squad by staying out of the way and surviving despite the odds. I think that counts.
I think you did.
I brought into play my heritage or traumas. Yes, I did. And per highest threat of opponent faced.
Three.
Which was three. Very cool. Flavia, would you like to go next?
Flavia. There we
as
go.
As you drool
okay.
from
yes.
the floor in your puddle.
Where's my hammer?
Well, actually, pause. So, according to the rules, only one, either the sniper or Flavia can get XP.
Gotcha.
Jay or the team, you folks can decide who it is. Basically, you got to play Flavia so that you aren't, like, locked out of the mission, but only one character of the two of them can get XP. So, which would you like? I feel like both had some pretty epic moments, right? Like, the sniper had some really cool suppressive fire, had a lot of, like, planning and whistles to send everyone everywhere.
Right.
The sniper gets to go on more missions because they're you know, can go on any mission, but...
Right.
But yeah,
Flavia
I don't know.
May not.
Flavia may not.
No, yeah, let's do that. Let's go with Flavia. I'm okay with that.
Awesome. So, Flavia, let's run your XP list here. Read them off.
All right. I don't think Flavia rolled anything desperate.
Possible.
Yeah, I don't think yep. she did. She survived the mission. That's one.
Yep. One.
You helped your squad through courage or determination.
I feel so.
I think. Yeah. I think courage. She grabbed that hammer.
And determination to keep holding it and using it, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's one XP.
You brought into play. Say it again.
I said it's one XP, but yes. Go on. You brought into play your
heritage or trauma.
You don't have trauma, but
no. I don't know that I.
Well, what are your heritages?
Aurite, noble, connected.
So yeah. I feel like connected came up when you like essentially like looked into the local area and you found a temple
and took everyone
there.
I also think noble sort of comes up into your entitlement here of like, no,
yes.
my hammer.
Yes. I can buy that. I like that.
Cool. So one XP there
and per highest threat of opponent face.
That's three. Put the XP wherever you like.
Two, three. Right.
Who's next?
Rhea. And go next.
Sure.
I marked XP for my desperate action that I rolled.
Good job.
I survived the mission. I did help the squad through medical knowledge.
Amen.
I do think that I brought my stoic
definitely
into play with the deft solving of the please drop the hammer problem. And like you said, three for the threat.
There you go.
All right, and Crimson
Crimson Rising Tide. Yep. I'm going to make one. I have marked my desperate already. Mark one for surviving. I help my squad by staying out of the way or surviving desperate odds. Despite odds, I think I survived. Despite odds, I think there were lots of times when yep. I almost didn't survive.
That was if any rookies earned it, it's definitely you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You brought your heritage or traumas to play. I was talking about my traveler quite a bit.
Yep.
I get three more facing threat three opponent. That's that.
Rock and roll.
Let's do the secondary mission real quick.
All right. 1 second.
Oh, before we end this mission though, Jen took.
Oh yeah, let's use that healed... doctor. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Use that doctor to put some healing ticks on people.
Okay, at the end of a mission, you may expend remaining doctor uses to add one check to a legionnaire's level 2 or 3 harm once per person. So I think that I have 2 uses of doctor. So, I could put...
You definitely have level 2 harm.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can put one to myself.
Yep.
And I believe Sean has one.
I've got level 2 as well.
Okay.
But is there somebody, I don't know, I hate to diss Crimson Rising Tide, but is there somebody more important than Crimson Rising Tide with level 2 harm?
I don't think so, actually.
I think everyone else was level 1 and
yep.
got yeah, rid of that. So, Jen, I just want to point out that you effectively, from the quartermaster's perspective, thank you, because you effectively healed like 5 healing ticks by getting rid of, or 4 healing ticks by getting rid of 2 yeah. level 1s and putting ticks on level 2. So
doctors are subtle, so like if you read their rules you're like, how effective are they really? The answer is very effective. So
yeah. I at the start of the session I was frustrated because I didn't realize how long I would have to wait to use field dressing, but I knew that once we got to it would come in handy.
Yeah, well the nice thing is that means when I use R&R everyone's gonna be fully healed.
Yes.
All right, so for our next mission, we are sending our officer and our scout, correct?
I believe just the officer is what I have written down, which okay. is okay, because that's all you need to meet yep, the mission parameters. All
right. So, everybody, and they are taking our silver stags, Graf Zardani, Graf Zardani, Arun Yadav, Ochre Shifting Sands, Esquiteria Silvana, and Elea Fyodorovna,
I think.
Yeah.
Fyodorimorovich.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Everybody is Ostor. Commander, yeah. Are you spending an intel?
For the secondary mission.
For the secondary mission.
Yes.
All right.
So I'm down to 2. Okay, not
so good. Actually, you're down to 1 because you spent 1 on the primary. Yeah, and no, you spent 1 right. on the secondary. Right. So yeah. I'm just holding up. I'm just doing Misha's dice yep. count. That's all.
Yep.
Go on.
Everybody is not a veteran. This squad, nobody should distrust or not fear.
Nope.
And
you're good.
We have the required specialist. This is a religion. No, this is a supply
mission. It is a religious mission. Oh no, this is a supply mission. Yes.
Yes. Supply mission. Quartermaster, did you spend food to equip the mission?
Good question.
We're gonna finish that tuber project with the hammer.
Yeah. Yeah, let's say yes.
Okay.
Because I want to go for a crit here.
All right. And then is our current pressure higher than 2?
No.
All right.
And Zionova, because she's a tactician, adds 1 as well.
All right, so that is 4.
This is the most dice you can actually get in this game for a secondary mission. You folks have spent everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
If you want, we could not spend intel, Jay, if you wanna hoard that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that'd be all right. If you all guys right. are good with that.
So,
yeah.
Jay, make sure that you have 2 intel marked on your sheet and 3. It's 3 dice now, Misha, sorry. But give it a spin.
Austin, come on back.
I love how like all of us are like, how many rookies
mm-hmm.
die?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So now you have a difficult choice, Misha, and this is completely in your hands on how many people you want to murder. Let's have a quick talk about outcomes. So the mission is at a crossroads. You can choose to fail the mission and all the troops return unharmed, everything's fine. Or two squad members die if they press on and all specialists take level 2 harm, but you succeed at the mission.
What do we get for succeeding on a supply mission?
So succeeding on this mission will grant you
something really cool. Oh, this is pretty big. Yeah, this is pretty big.
So this Operation Diamond Tiger is the last time Legion passed through this area, they met the Clockmaker. It's a very famous Aurite engineer priest who wrote the book on several inventions, including pressurized grapnels. His daughter happened to marry an Aldermani man, and he retired nearby. He repaired a bunch of your gear, and everyone in the Legion feels like they owe him. If you fail the mission, you're going to take a morale hit, because everyone's like, it's an old man, he did right by the Legion, he's an Aurite, we love him. If you succeed, you get an additional unit of laborers and +1 supply. Basically, what happened is, when the undead came into the mountain towns, his daughter led the charge into the mines. And so, like, a lot of these specialized engineers are hiding in the mines, and the undead are like, are you going to hide in the mines? Cool. We drop the mines on you. And so they're suffocating in the mines, and your troops have to rescue them and get them out before, like, this happens.
Poop singles. Yeah, I think we need to succeed.
Okay, so you get to choose two people that die, and the officer is going to take level 2 harm. So let's decide what happens. How do these people die? Do they have to like do a heroic defense? Do they die in a mind collapse? What's the story here?
Yeah, I think they were one of the mines started collapsing, and what's the word I'm looking for? So bad at names. The Zimyati, Alea, and the Esquit Tyria Solana stayed, and they were like holding up the roof long enough for the civilians to get out right before it collapsed onto them. So. Wah, wah,
wah, wah. Say once more who it is so that I can drag them to the greater. Two.
Alea, Fyodor, why did I pick this name?
It's okay, it's not that bad.
Alea, and Esquit Tyria Sylvana.
Alright, let me drop them in the graveyard here for you. Oh, I have to grab them by the little bars. My bad. All right, there we go. Alea and who? The Esquite?
Yep. Yeah, Tyrius.
All right, excellent. So they die, and the officer suffers some harm. Maybe bone bruising. Does that sound fine?
I put concussion if that works.
Perfect. That sounds great.
I think she got. Because I never got clocked on the head.
So all right. Cool.
So we now have two partial squads. Can we squish them together to make a single squad? How does that work?
Yeah, you can. But that's going to happen during the downtime phase. Yeah. You can move things around, but be aware that that affects morale, right? Like some squads might be like, they're not used to working with each other. Yeah. They obey the marshal, but it's going to be interesting. We'll see who gets sent and how that happens.
I was going to say, who's ever tracking morale has to take -2.
That's correct. That would be Misha.
Yeah, that's me.
So -2 for the loss of the two Legionnaires. And that's the secondary mission. You automatically fail the third mission, which if I recall, I actually had it up in chat. So I clicked the link.
There's no
penalty
for that one. Yeah.
Good job. It was a mission of opportunity. Yay. Yeah. Cool. So that's the end of the missions. Usually we would play it back a camp scene, but I think we're at time. So, let's pick up with, mission rewards and penalties at the start of next session. And, we'll go from there. Sound good?
Yep.
Sounds great. That's perfect.
All right. Good job, everybody.
This was another close one. Another
You'll find that most missions in BOB end up like that.
Yeah.
It depends. Actually, that's not true. I've had missions where we just rolled sixes for some reason, and it went pretty smoothly. But that's really, really rare. So it depends. All right, cool. So shall we do our outros?
Yeah.
All right.
I think I'm first.
You are, Sean. Take it away.
I'm Sean. I played the amazing, unkillable, unstoppable, never gonna die, Crimson Rising Tide tonight, and it was a blast. You can find me everywhere at Sean Nittner, and I am stoked about playing this game. I'm stoked that the Babylon Equity Project that we launched on Tuesday funded.
Wildly successful.
Two days.
2 days, 26 grand. What the hell?
Bring 30 people of color to Big Bad Con. It is friggin' awesome.
That is awesome.
And the Big Bad Con Kickstarter will be launching next week. So you'll be able to get your tickets and get your gift boxes and all kinds of cool stuff there. So that is I'm very excited about that. How about you, Misha?
Hi, I'm Misha B. I am on Twitter at Black Girl Gameworks, BG Gameworks on Twitter. It is late. I am one of the people who will be coming to Big Bad Con because of the Babylon Equity Project.
Yay!
Which is awesome. Fun con. Love it. That's pretty much it. I'm a little brain dead tonight, so we'll see how else things go.
Late for you.
Yeah.
I'm Matt J. I'm Matt J Zero on Twitter. I played Flavia the Thunder Goddess.
You should tell Zora that.
I know. Hey, Zora, you got to play the sword. Guess what?
I'm the Thunder Goddess. I'm looking forward to Big Bad Con. It's my favorite con of the year, so I enjoy playing out there. I get some really good games when I go. So, Jen.
I am Jen Martin. I use she, her pronouns. I am at JenMartin80 on Twitter. I'm LARP coordinator for Big Bad Con, so I'm also super excited about it. What about you, Strash?
Hey, I'm Strash, he, him. You can find me at Strash A on the Twitters. I am really excited to have this many people this engaged in chat watching this game. So thank you all for joining us. And also, I want to say I am really excited for being done with this book, which should be happening here in a matter of days. I want to say this book, I mean Band of Blades, because I think the almost release candidate, almost last version is with our editor Karen and Sean here. That's been a long road. I'm excited. I just want to ask everyone, if you can, join us next week for more awesome adventures of the Legion. We'll see what the commander has prepped, and we'll make all the missions and do all the magic in between. So, good night, all.
Good night.
Wow, so many great scenes in that episode. I loved Jen's idea to turn the horror back on the rest of the Rotters, and Jay, when Flavia picks up that hammer and after her axe has been shattered and she picks up that hammer and doesn't want to put it back down, and in the end we got what is probably one of the hardest choices for the Marshal to make in that mixed result on a secondary mission, where it's everybody comes home safe and the mission has failed, or two people are perish and the mission succeeds. And it made a ton of sense. Diamond Tiger, we were trying to rescue these people trapped in the mines. And of course, a few of the Legion were lost in the process, but we got them free. And I will tell you right now, a little spoiler, that the quartermaster is very, very pleased with everything that resulted from these two missions. Between the hammer and the Aurite clock work engineer and all the people that we saved, it was some it's going to help the Legion as we advance in real ways. And I just love that moment of the Revenants where we realize like these are undead, but they're a different kind of undead. And again, it was very fun playing Crimson Rising Tide as kind of a goofball, thinking that the statue with the hammer was the hammer, dancing around Flavia, saying that she has the lightning. Yeah, it was good stuff. One more. I got to call out Strauss's delight in research roles. If you're listening to the podcast, you can't see the expression on Strauss's face, the exuberance that he has when someone says, can I make a research role to know more about that? And he's like, oh, I get to share lore. I get to talk about the game. That was a particular delight, how many things we found out by flashing back or by remembering things the lore keeper told us. So wonderful session, as the previous ones had been. Stay tuned for Mission 4.